6. And I've asked Nancy Janda if she would read for us this morning. Book of Acts, chapter 6.
Acts, chapter 6, 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of God's Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. From Antioch to Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Problems in the church already? We're only in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. But I'd like to take you back to the Garden of Eden. Just for a moment.
Garden of Eden at the very beginning, and God created Adam and Eve, and they were to dwell in the Garden of Eden and rule over the things that God had made. They were to manage it, good stewards, and take care of it, and they were able to live in a perfect environment, perfect relationships, perfect beauty, and they could relate to God and to each other. Well, one day, I suppose, I heard this from someone who wasn't there, but I suppose it could have been true that Eve came up to Adam. And she put her arm around his neck and leaned her head on his shoulder. And she said, "Adam, do you love me?" And he looked at her and said, "Who else?" I'll let that soak in for a little bit. It's not hard to figure out when there's only one choice. In the early church, there was no other choice. And when problems arose in the early church, they had to deal with it. And this happened in, that Nancy read about, it happened in a time of peace. It was growing, and still trouble came up. And so I'd like to proceed through this, just a few short verses, and discover how it was dealt with, and what God did. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us your word. We can be aware of how you brought the church to be, that we can enjoy it today, that we can be part of it in Christ, and that you are continuing to grow your church. But Lord, help us to understand your word. And this came up for a purpose. It came up in the real life of the early church, and so we look to you for understanding and for a grasp of how we can be dealing with things in the local assemblies as well. Commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what was the problem in the early church, in the Jerusalem church? And I'm calling it the Jerusalem church because sometimes people get the idea, because we've come 2,000 years away, that God kicked the Jews out. They crucified Christ. That's it, an argument that people bring up. Why would God want anything to do with the Jewish people? Well, the early church was made up of Jewish people. They were the church. There were thousands of them. 3,000 came to Christ the first time Peter preached, and then more, and it added up to 5,000. That's a mega church. And here were 12 apostles that were in a pastoral role. They were teaching and administering things. And they'd come a long ways in just a short amount of time. They had faced the opposition of Jewish religious leaders, the rulers. But now for a time, they were being left alone. You remember, some of you were here last week, and the Jewish rulers became so angry with the apostles that they wanted to kill them. And Gamaliel got their attention, and he said, you know, don't do anything rash. If this is just from men, if this movement is just from men, it'll die out. If it's from God and you oppose it, you'll find yourself fighting against God. And so it appears that they just backed off for a period of time. And the church was growing, and there was a time of peace. They had also experienced the willful sin in the church. And so that was something that had caught everybody's attention, because Ananias and Sapphira lied to God. And they lied about the money from the sale of property that they had. And they tried to pull a fast one. It doesn't work well to try and fool God. This was the first illustration of the discipline of the church, and Ananias and Sapphira died. There were money gifts that were being given to meet the needs within the church, and the numbers were great. They were great enough for the apostles to lose touch with what was taking place. There were over 5,000 believers, 5,000 of 12 men that are taking the money. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira were among those that brought money, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And it's yours to distribute. And they took their hands off of it. Joseph, called Barnabas, was one of those. And here the 12 apostles were responsible for distributing the money and making sure the needs in the community, the church community, were met. Well, here we have an occasion in chapter 6 when there were some people that were foreigners, and we can put that in quotation marks. They were Jewish believers, but they were from other areas. They were from areas outside of Jerusalem, and they were considered for a short period of time as foreigners until the church scattered. In fact, we have one of those that was chosen as one of those who would serve the tables, Nicholas from Antioch. He was a Gentile man, a proselyte, someone who came to Judaism and accepted all the rituals and became part of the Jewish community, even though he was a Gentile. But because of this, it appears that there was some discrimination taking place. Do we ever hear about that today? Discrimination. You don't treat everybody equally. There are some things that people get that not everybody else gets. Things like that. Discrimination. And there was an apparent discrimination taking place, and it was the Grecian widows that were being overlooked. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Well, there's the problem. There was discrimination, apparently. There were those that were being left out. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. It tells us that we shouldn't be looking at other people with discrimination, with drawing differences, pointing out differences. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The church was to be a place that is equitable, fair, and just. So when you come to church, I would hope that you would understand that this is a haven. This is a place where you are not seen as this or that, this occupation, that occupation, this background, that background, but we're all one in Christ. And we need a haven when we're out there in the world, and we might get beat up a bit. There are people that oppose what we stand for, and we want to come and be accepting like this. So when they came, this complaint came before the apostles. There was an occasion back when Jesus was on earth that the apostles came to Jesus and they told him, you've been teaching all day long. These people are getting hungry. Why don't you send them away so they can go find something to eat? And you remember what Jesus said? You feed them. We can't. I mean, a year's wages wouldn't buy enough bread to feed all these people. There's thousands and thousands of people here. So what did they do? Jesus said, sit them down and take care of them. You feed them. So these apostles had been experienced with Jesus. When they were saying, send them away, Jesus said, no, you take care of them. And the apostles did not say to the people that were not from Jerusalem, he didn't say to these Grecian, the Hellenistic, some of your Bibles say Hellenistic Jews, he didn't say, the apostles did not say, well, just send them away. If they're hungry, let them go get food. They'd been taught a lesson, hadn't they? They'd been taught by Jesus already. So there were no excuses. In Galatians chapter 6, we find the instruction for doing good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good. Don't send people away, but let us do good, especially to those who are believers. Now, we're collecting for the Benevolence Fund today, and Gary often talks about that in the announcements, but it's for helping people in our community and in our church. But one of the things that comes up is some of the things that would put them in the condition of need. Is there more to it than just throwing money at something? Do we need to give them counseling? Do we need to help them? One of the things that comes up is the power bills in the wintertime. And there are people that don't know about the budgeting for the power and having the level pay. And so just telling people, you know, you don't have to wait till you get $2,500 bill. You don't have to wait and put it off and put it off. But just a counsel about what's available and then pay the bill. Let them get an even start. That's what our Benevolence Fund is for, that they can understand the people in the community church care for them. That we're not just trying to meet a physical need, but there's also spiritual needs that come along with that too. And so we use the Benevolence Fund in order to meet the needs. And you can have that in mind each month on the Communion Sunday, the last Sunday of the month. We take up the collection for the Benevolence Fund. What we want to do with that is to meet needs for the glory of God, demonstrating God's love and grace and helping with mercy. Well, the apostles did something that was a first time ever here. And they said, when they heard the need, they said in verse 3, brothers, talking to the congregation, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. We will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. We call that a congregational type of government in the church, where the people can decide who's the leadership, who's going to take the responsibilities. And they did that here. They are assuming in all these thousands of people that there are those who stand out, who stand up and seem to have the qualifications for spiritual leadership in order to serve tables. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But that's the way the Bible is. You qualify spiritually to do a menial task because it's an offering to the Lord, a spiritual ministry. So they chose men who gave evidence of being full of the Spirit and of wisdom, so that the widows would not be neglected, and so the ministry would not be neglected either. And what did they do? They brought these men. 7 men were selected from among the congregation. And what we fill in there is they had Greek names. These 7 had Greek names. And so they were selecting men that would have perhaps a little more identification with those in need. I have found it really helpful when there's someone with a particular need in the hospital, for instance, of having people that if I'm not able to go, and nobody goes now, but in the past, to have someone drop by and visit with a person who's been through something similarly. Those same kind of issues have been dealt with in their life, and it's helpful to have someone that can come in and say, hey, I've been where you are. How can I help you? I'd like to minister to you. And that's what they did with these. These men would identify with the complaints, but they may not be among those who grumbled, but the people recognize that they are sensitive to their need. We all want to be sensitive. And one of the things that we find was that they selected Stephen. And what's said about Stephen? This proposal pleased the whole group in verse 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think probably all of them qualified that way because that's who they were supposed to look for. Someone that was full of the Spirit, that they had a good reputation in the church among all the people and were wise. They knew how to put good business people. They knew how to deal with the needs. But Stephen was going to be a powerhouse for God, and yet he was chosen to serve tables. But he was full of the faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and also the other 6. They presented these men to the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them, identifying with them and saying, you have the authority to minister within this body. One of the things that I'd like to point out with Stephen, too, that probably good for all of us, is the appointment to an office does not limit a person to that office. And because someone else is appointed to an office, it doesn't mean that others can't join in the responsibilities of fulfilling an office. So we have 5 trustees, but we need the whole church a lot of times to participate in projects, whether it's giving, whether it's working, and getting jobs done. So offices aren't limitations, but room for expanding, because each of us has used to use their spiritual gift to meet the needs in the church. I really like, as we proceed down through here, that as the church gained coordination, getting to work together, the word of God spread. Verse 7 is a fantastic verse. Who does it include in verse 7? Someone surprise you? The church increased, but who were included? Priests. Yes, Jewish priests. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. There was rapid growth in Jerusalem. Where did they often meet? It was the temple, wasn't it? They often met on Solomon's porch in the temple. Now, who would be hanging out at the temple? Priests. They have duties there. And when Peter and other apostles are spread out among the people and they're teaching the people, who's listening in? The priests. They're right there. They have to be there. That's one of the things of chaplains in the prison. They have a captive audience. And my dad did that for 15 years. People respond when they're in those situations. And priests couldn't help but see the growth of the church as it came to the temple. A large number became obedient to the faith. Well, God has chosen to grow the church through his people. God has chosen to grow the church. We want to keep growing. Not necessarily, it's not just numbers, but to grow spiritually. To have an appetite for the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, the last part of the verse, it says, the church grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, if there are people that are being blessed and growing in Christ, it's because the whole church is coordinated. It's all, every part is taking that responsibility to fulfill the ministry in the church. The church grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, that was a pretty short passage this morning. Dealing with a problem, you know, there's various ways that problems in the church are dealt with. People kind of make up their own minds about that. But we want to learn from what happened in the early church. The growth is important. The relationships are important. Coming to agreement is important. And having people in responsible positions who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Well, let's pray. And we are going to move on to communion. And we'll have a few instructions about that with our situation now. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, would you help us, please, to handle your word carefully, not just knowing what it says, but practicing the things that you've brought the church through, things that they've learned earlier that we might benefit from. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and be merciful people. Full of grace to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.